Welcome to the Synthetic Media Podcast. I'm your host, Henrik DeCuyer. Join me for interviews and thoughts on the ever-expanding topic of synthetic media. You can find my book on synthetic media on Amazon. Subscribe to this podcast for free. Follow us on syntheticmediapodcast.com and enjoy today's episode.
My name's John Lee, and I'm a synthetic media artist. I'm known in a lot of the communities as Wig. That's kind of my handle. I also run futuringmachine.com, which is my YouTube channel, and I recently co-founded a new company with a couple other creatives called the Synthetic Reality Company, and that's basically where I spend all my time right now. I got into synthetic media a couple of years ago, and I've kind of never put it down since I picked it up.
John, how are you involved with synthetic media?
Well, I've been in television for about 20 years, and I have a computer science background. I had seen deepfakes online a couple of years ago, and it looked like something that was interesting to me, but it kind of didn't impress me at first. And several of my friends actually from college, who were all government and politics majors, are all now in machine learning, and I was the computer science major. So I felt that they had been talking about, you know, doing some training on models, and I thought, man, you know, I really ought to give this a try because the work that I see is funny. Like, the deepfakes are comical. It gets your attention. And but I could tell that the people that were doing it didn't have a production background. And I thought, well, gee, you know, I know how to do a lot of the things that are difficult in terms of finishing the work. Let me see how hard it is to actually play with the code and work in synthetic media. And once I kind of got over that barrier, it wasn't much of a barrier for me, to be honest. It was just addictive because it really melts like creative barriers. It's somewhat counterintuitive as well to the visual effects industry at large. And I just fell in love with it right away. And I've been doing it ever since. It's probably been, it's almost 3 years, I would say now, that I've done it every day. I'm always doing something with synthetic media.
John, what are the biggest challenges and successes you've seen with synthetic media?
Well, I think the biggest challenge is the deepfake stigma, the term. There's also the rampant use of non-consensual pornography, mostly targeted against women. Those are things that I'm very passionate about fighting because they are massive ethical problems. They give the technology a bad name. And they're, in my opinion, they're underreported on. The press seems to sensationalize a lot of things like, oh, someone could frame you, or they can put words in other people's mouths. And to me, it's kind of missing that there's already this massive problem with like 90% or more of what they call deepfakes being non-consensual porn. So to me, advocating for ethical use, having a discussion about what that looks like, to me, that's the biggest challenge, because we live in this era of you know, just sensationalism. Whoever can be the loudest kind of gets the attention. And there's a lot of people I feel like too, who feel threatened by this because it's new and it is a big new thing, but also I see it's a technology. It's going to be difficult to arrest or regulate, but I feel that the most important thing is that as a society as a whole, that we start having conversations about how to use it ethically, about how to spot it, about how to track it, and also have the freedom, the creative freedom, to explore new use cases. Because this really does, as a creative person, as a professional artist, I've been my entire life, this just opens up so many more doors. And I kind of like view my role, like if I'm successful, what it would be is that I hope like kind of usher in that new age along with so many of the other great artists that are out there, my peers that I consider that are all trying to push the ball forward as well. And if we do well, I think that my goal is really to demonstrate what those use cases are, to show like what the positive benefits are and what ethical use looks like. And so that's kind of how I see the playing field right now. I've had a lot of success. It's very fulfilling. It's been difficult for my personal life just because I'm always working. As I mentioned before the call started, I got about 2 hours of sleep last night. I'm on a deadline today for a client in California. I'm very proud of the first actually professional work that I did in the deepfake space. I did a spot for Represent Us, which is a bipartisan nonprofit that advocates for fair elections and ending gerrymandering. And I helped them create two 30-second, or I think they did a 30 and a 60 national spots that were supposed to air. Well, they were going to air regionally in like three or four major U.S. markets right after the first presidential debates in 2020. And at the 11th hour, all the networks pulled them. They decided they weren't going to run them. And so they never actually went out on broadcast, but they are online. And I'm proud of those because to me, that's like a way to highlight It's a use of the technology that grabs people's attention. It's upfront. There's a warning in front of the piece that, you know, this is a synthetic commercial. And in each of the adverts, it's Kim Jong-un is in one of them and Vladimir Putin is in the other. And they both, you know, speak in English. So, you know, that it's sort of not really them. You know, it's very stylized so that you understand that this is an ad. And they, you know, it's kind of in my eyes, I don't want to put words into the creatives that actually came up with the concept, but I think the goal of that was to kind of try to rally voters in the United States, having the polarized state that we're in, and to draw attention to the fact that there are problems with our democracy with gerrymandering and those sort of things, and you know, voter intimidation and voter suppression. And so that project was very near and dear to my heart. And that's the kind of work that I really want to do. And it was an awesome way to kind of start in the space. And I've done other things since then that I really enjoyed. Some of my personal work has given me, you know, many connections in the industry. It's really, sometimes I have to pinch myself to, like, you know, believe that everything that's happening right now is real. Because I was working as a public servant really in the school system in television for 13 years. And it wasn't a very creative, rewarding, you know, position to be in. I enjoyed, you know, working for a mission-based, you know, organization, but it was time for me to go. And I don't have any regrets really of getting into this because it's been a really fun adventure.
John, what advice would you like to share with people working on synthetic media?
I think, get in touch with one another. You know, that there are many active communities on Discord. That's kind of where I picked it up. You know, Control Shift Face is one of the most popular. He's probably the most subscribed deepfake artist. And I joined his server a couple of years ago. And literally, you know, in terms of the machine learning side and the synthetic media side, 95%. Of what I've learned through those Discord communities, starting with his and then moving on to some of the other ones. A friend of mine, actually, who I'm working with as a developer, who has created a synthetic media editing platform. And we, all of us, sorry, I don't want to sound elitist, but, you know, there's like a clique of us, like five of us, that we kind of consider on our own tier in terms of our quality. And we all use this guy's software, and that's been a big boon. And I'm actually still, we work together, and I'm still working with him to kind of develop more features. And I'm obviously, I assume you may have reached out to Chris Ume and some of the other guys. And I work a bit with Chris too. We're just friends, really. But we all try to support one another, and getting involved with the community is useful. And I found as well that, try to read up on ethics as well. But there are so many of us in the community that have been there now for years. And there's a real, like, you know, sense of, like, we try to help one another out. So, like, if you want to get in the synthetic media, I think that would be my advice. I've connected with many of them on LinkedIn. What Chris is doing with his nonprofit, Synthetic Futures, I think is a really big deal. And I'm happy. I've tried to help them out however I can. I've actually reached out to join them, you know, with the company that I founded as well, because we are all, like, very interested in democratizing this and making sure that people can use it, but do it in a responsible way. There's a lot of self-policing as well. To be honest, you know, I'm not an ethicist or anything. I'm a film person. So I have a big desire to kind of round out my knowledge in terms of global policy. I learned a lot actually during Chris's event when they did their debut. Particularly, there was a panel they did about, I think it was the last one actually, about, like, different cultures and how the technology is being used. And I found that very interesting because there was a lot in there that doesn't get carried on the national news, you know. There's so many new, like, complex issues that we're going to have to solve. And so I would highly recommend, looking into those for anyone that wants to get into the space too, because this is going to be a very complicated, technology, and it's going to create many, many issues. And we need kind of, I think, like the best and the brightest and the most forward-thinking people to help make sure that it stays fair and equitable, and it doesn't turn into some kind of, conglomerate that's locked off.
And John, where can we learn more about synthetic media and your work on the subject?
Yeah, definitely check out Control-Shift-Face Discord. I can share links with you. We have our own website now called, it's just syntheticreality.ai. That's our company, but that's really more of a plug because, if you want to learn about how we're using synthetic media, there's information there, but we're basically a live event production company. I learned the most about being a practitioner from the Discord servers and from other users. They have really given me an education on it. I think too that, obviously a lot of the other places like GitHub and Stack Overflow, there's information as well on the coding side. It's such a broad discipline that there are so many facets as well. Like we talked about CAI and the other nonprofit organizations as well. And I think those are great places to learn as well. But for me, I just love, there really is this small knit community. And it's like my favorite place to be. I have to get myself off Discord sometimes when my kids get home because, I kind of view a lot of the other artists as my friends. And we've all kind of come up together and we've all seen kind of the field explode in the last 18 months. We've all kind of left jobs. And like three of us have started companies. So I think it's a great time to get involved. I think it's still in its infancy. And what we really need are people that can come in and help develop the next generation of tools for artists. So like if you're interested in kind of being able to put your stamp on how this all plays out, it's a great time, I think, for anyone to get involved. Because I just see it as it's not only going to spread, it's going to split apart and become like just a whole network of new creative technologies. This isn't just swapping a face. There's just so much, there's deep voice and other things, but you're talking about like image restoration and photogrammetry and, 3D capture, monocular focus. I mean, like synthetic media is such an all-encompassing concept. And with this big push, for the metaverse stuff and all that, I think it's going to be a big part of everyone's lives in a few years' time, and it's going to bring creative possibilities, to people, and they won't need to have like the insane amount of resources that a professional studio has to have right now. That's really what drew me to it. I've always kind of looked for tools to help me, tell visual stories with the absolute minimum amount of resources. And so this is like probably the greatest tool I've ever found for that, because of what it can do.
Join us next week for a new episode by subscribing to the Synthetic Media Podcast. Check out my book about synthetic media on Amazon. Follow us on syntheticmediapodcast.com. This podcast was produced by Henrik de Gior. Music by Mattia Capelli. You enjoyed this podcast? Please leave us a 5-star review. And thank you for listening.